right, let us bow our heads. Go before the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, God. I thank you for these, your sheep, God. Thank you for another opportunity to minister to these sheep, God. I thank you that you are the message giver. I'm just the message bearer. God, I thank you that the people will be eternally touched and blessed as they tune in and listen to that which you have to say. So, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, God, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. God, let it be all of you, not less of me. God, allow no satanic or demonic forces to interrupt or hinder anything that is going forth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Come on, getting your Bibles in your hands. We do this all the time. This is not something we have to do, but we do it to set the atmosphere. So remember, when you are confessing, you are setting the atmosphere, because the words that you confess, they create atmospheres. And so repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Come on, make some noise this morning. Those of you online, where you are, make some noise in your home, in your car, however you are connecting. So you're saying, I plan on receiving this morning. We're going to start off at 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'll be reading this. It says this, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. The King James says we are not ignorant of his devices. So that leads me to this topic and title. And I will say it this way. It is simply this. I'm smarter than that. Somebody just look at your neighbor and say, I'm smarter than that. You ever been in a situation where your parents were frustrated with you and they told you this phrase, you're smarter than that? In other words, you don't have to be operating so low. You're better than that. And I need you to understand, I'm smarter than that. I may have made some mistakes and done some dumb things, but I'm telling myself, I'm smarter than that. I don't have to live in a low level. One of the greatest things about salvation is not just the salvation of our souls, it's the transformation of our minds. And so I'm so grateful that once I come to God, he elevates the way that I think if I would allow him. And the truth of the matter is, I'm smarter than that. What we're going to do, how we're going to work through this, we're going to give us an expose. We're going to expose the enemy. We're talking about four things the devil uses to outsmart us. We are smarter than sometimes our life shows that we are. And the reason why our life doesn't always show how smart we are with the transformation of our minds is because the devil is always trying to outsmart us. And so what I want to do, I want to shine a spotlight on the things that he does so that you are aware and so that you don't fall for the okey-doke. You don't fall for the tricks. Now, here's the thing about the enemy. He will not give you a new trick as long as you're still falling for the last one. Because God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at the same time, but Satan is not. So Satan has to use a construction of demons and demonic principalities. And so if you do his job for him, you make it easy. So as long as you keep falling for the same man all the time, he don't even have to work that hard. As long as you keep falling for the same trick, he doesn't have to work that hard. But I want to expose the tools in his toolbox so that you are aware and you're not ignorant of his devices, because you're smarter than that. Yeah. Pastor, I've been cussing folk out left and right. Baby, you're smarter than that. I've been stealing from Walmart. Sweetheart, you're smarter than that. Sometimes people jeopardize their life over silly stuff. Yeah, I tried to rob the bank. Do you understand how hard it is? Got locked up for 70 years for $7. You're smarter than that. All right, let's put up a definition. We're going to use a lot of definitions because they help. These words are important. They help. So let's put this up. It's a definition of outsmart. So the devil's always trying to outsmart us, or he's trying to defeat or get the better of someone or us by being clever or cunning. So a lot of times, because of Hollywood and because of storytelling, we're looking for an ugly dragon with a pitchfork and horns on his head. But that's not how the devil comes, because if he comes like that, you will know. Most of y'all will run. You run about out your house if he come looking like that. So he don't come looking like that. He comes more subtle. He comes more crafty. He comes more cunning, because he's trying to outsmart you. And so if he always shows his hand, he can't outsmart you. The devil that is caught is a devil that's not smart. So what he tries to do, he tries not to get caught. All right, let's give us the first tool. Number one, tell you how he works. Satan deals in deception. This is one of his great tactics, is the tactic of deceiving, deception. Let's look at Revelation 12:9. It says this, I'll read this as well. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, so we will use that interchangeably, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So that's how we get the demonic principalities. But even the scripture calls him the deceiver of the world. His goal is to deceive. His goal is trickery. His goal is craftiness. His goal is cunningness. And let me be honest, he's good at his job. And you have to realize that he's trying to outsmart you. And you have to rise to the occasion and understand you are smarter than that. Let's look at John 8:44. This is Jesus' words himself. Mother Mitchell, how about you read that?
You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
So that phrase that we use, the father of lies, that was Jesus talking to the people about their father, Satan. He was letting them know they were operating like their father, Satan, who is just a liar and the father of lies. He's a deceiver. That's what he is. He ain't no good. He's a slew-footed, ugly devil, but he's a deceiver. He's deceptive. And even though you're saved and sanctified, you can walk in his deception if you're not careful. So let me give you a side note. Put it up here, side note A. This goes with point number one. If he's talking, he's lying. Well, the devil's been talking to my mind. I just need to let you know he's lying. I don't care whatever he says. If he says you're bald-headed, which I am, he's only saying that to tell me a lie later on. Even his truth is born out of a purpose to lie and to deceive. Now, let me back up from Satan for a second, because some of y'all have never seen Satan. But have you ever dated a liar? If they were talking, they're lying. And what you have to understand, that liars lie for no reason. They don't even have to be a reason to lie. Lie for no reason. You could catch them and have video proof of what they did, and they'll find a way to lie. But I'm here to let you know, if the devil's been talking to you, he's lying. Well, the devil told me I'm going to die. He's lying. Eventually, you may die, but you don't have to die right now. You're going to go when God says you're going to go. So when the devil talks to your mind, you have to understand he is a liar and the father of lies. You don't need Maury Povich to find out the DNA. If he's the liar and the father of lies, that's all he can produce is lies. Now, I wonder how many of his lies have you believed? I wonder how many of his lies are you still believing? Let me say this, because he is the devil and because he cannot be everywhere, sometimes he has to lie through other people. He can't always get to you, but he can get through other people. So your mama told you you are fat, nasty, and ugly, and you're 74 and you're still believing what mama said. But I'm here to let you know it came from a lie, and the goal was deceived. But if you walk in it, then guess what you will be? You'll be fat, ugly, and nasty, because the lie is designed to deceive you. How many lies do you still believe about yourself? Hopefully, when you join up with Deliverance Temple, you realize you can let go of the lies that have been hanging over your life. I don't have to believe the lies. Let's go even deeper, but we're going to back up and go all the way to the beginning. And let's look at Genesis chapter 3.
The serpent was clever, and more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman, "Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden?"
Do I understand that did God say you could not eat? Sometimes lies sound good, but it's still a lie. Baby, I'll give you the sun, the moon, the stars. You don't even have a car or a job. You can't even give me a happy meal. But because it sounds good, I'll believe the lie. All right, let's keep on going. Read.
The woman said to the man, to the serpent, "Not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden."
One of the problems we see right here, she started talking back to a liar. Sometimes you can't respond to a liar, because a liar lies so good, you'll get confused. So sometimes when a liar gets to lying, you just be quiet. Or you add something else in. Sometimes I don't even want the devil to know I heard what he said. So I just keep my mouth shut like I didn't hear what he said. No. It's interesting. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. On my way home, if I'm traveling down 28, there happens to be a mailbox that is anchored in cement, a big circle thing anchored in cement. And I don't know how many times the devil's told me, you're going to lose control of your car and you're going to hit that thing. You're going to tear everything up. I mean, I've been traveling this road forever, and every now and then he'll just tell me that lie. But guess what? I don't even respond to it anymore. I used to say, "You're a liar, devil." Now I don't even respond to it, because you're so dumb, you're still using the same old tricks and the same old stuff. Here's the thing. Once the devil gets real desperate, he keeps using the same old stuff. So don't even respond. I just keep on driving. and keep on living. Because if he could have killed me, he would have done it a long time ago. So he's only trying to do it to threaten me and to scare me and to make me feel like, oh God, I can't drive down that road anymore. Now I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it. And the devil's not going to throw no salt in my game because I'm smarter than that. All right, next.
It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it, don't even touch it, or you'll die.
Next verse.
The serpent told the woman, you won't die.
Oh, God tripping. You ain't gonna die. It ain't like he said. All right, go on to the next. This is where he starts deceiving.
God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil.
Here's the secret, Eve. God is holding back from you. He don't want you to be like him, which is full of deception because he created them in his image. If he didn't want them to be like him, he would have never created them in his image. But Satan is a deceiver and he's a trickster. And that leads me to point number two. Another tool. Number two, Satan deals in isolation. He deals in deception, but his deception works best in isolation. One of the things that we don't see in the beginning, we don't see a conversation with Satan and Adam. We see a conversation with Satan and Eve. And the question is, where was Adam? We're not sure, but Satan waited till Eve was isolated and then he started deceiving. Let's define the word isolation. It is this: without relation to other people or things, separately. Well, Pastor, I'm just going through some stuff, so I need to be by myself for a while. Well, let me put up a side note. Side note B that goes with point number two is this: don't do life alone if you don't have to. Because what many times happens is people start suffering in silence. And they get isolated and they start withdrawing from places that would give them the help that they need. Yeah. Here's another thing, especially when it comes to church attendance. Church attendance is not just so you can check a box. Church attendance is for you. But in a day and age where you can get it online, why is it important to be in the house if you can't? Here's the reason why: because people can recognize on your face and in your mannerisms when something is off. They can pray for you because you don't look right. You may be waving your hand, you may be dancing and shouting, you may be giving in the offering, but somebody with discernment will say something's off about Teresa. And it's hard to know that if Teresa stays isolated. Some years ago in Washington, D.C., there were snipers who were killing people. They were in a car and they were killing people from the highway. People were dying and they couldn't figure out what was going on. Finally caught up to the two men. It was a man and a young man, two of them. And when they found out what they did, they waited till they found somebody who was isolated. They would be by themselves pumping gas. If they were pumping gas and there were three or four more cars, they wouldn't shoot. They'd only shoot if they found somebody by themselves where they could do what they got to do. And let me tell you something. Some things you can't go through alone. Not only does it take a village to raise a child, it takes a village to keep you sane. So come where the help is. Come where the strength is. Talk to somebody. tell somebody, I don't feel right today. I don't feel good today. That's why sometimes you got to look your kids in the face and ask extra questions. That's why you got to talk to people. That's why sometimes y'all don't like these nosy church folk, but sometimes nosy church folk will save your life. Asking a lot of questions, because the devil deals in deception and he deals in isolation. And if he can do them at the same time, he'll do them at the same time. He'll isolate you so he can deceive you. Sometimes the people who've got these great revelations that end up being crazy and off, they got them by themselves. Sometimes when you say, God has been speaking to me, share what he's speaking with somebody else, so there can be some checks and balances. God has been speaking to me that I need to become a pilot, and I believe I'm going to be the only person who can fly a plane backwards. God said it to me. He woke me up in the middle of the night. I'm going to ask you, baby, what did you eat last night? Because I don't think that was God. Sometimes you need somebody you can bounce ideas off of so that they can keep you on the straight and narrow. Let's move on. Let's go to Matthew. We went all the way to the beginning with Adam, but there's somebody called the last Adam. We're going to go to the beginning with the last Adam. Let's pick up Matthew chapter 4.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
All right, let me pause. I'm not throwing away everything that I just said, but let me add this. Sometimes when the call of God is on your life, isolation is the only thing you get. You should not be isolated if you can help it. But let me throw this out there. Sometimes, because what God has called you to, you can't talk to nobody. Because God is allowing you to be tested. There are some cases in your life that even if you explained it, people wouldn't understand. There are some cases in your life where you can't even articulate it the way you feel it. So it's easier not to say anything at all. There are some cases that you will go through when you're called by God. I'm not talking about when you're off doing silly things. I'm talking about when you're called by God. Sometimes wilderness is a part of the elevation. God doesn't always elevate by like the escalator or the elevator. In the elevator, if you on one, you push two, you go up to two. You push three, you go up to three. Sometimes in God, in order to go up, get up to seven, you got to go downward first. So it doesn't always seem right, but I do need you to understand, as long as you're with God, and let me do this demonstration, and his hand is on your life, you're going to be all right. But sometimes the Spirit will lead you into wilderness, because many times if God's going to use you, he's got to process, and I'm not cussing, he's got to process the hell out of you. And sometimes he can't do it in a crowd. He got to do it in private places. Sometimes you can be in a crowded room, still feel lonely. Sometimes you could be laying right next to your spouse and still don't feel love, because God is working on you, because you will never be able to help people out there if you have never been through anything in here. So sometimes isolation is part of the process. In God, 2 plus 2 don't always equal 4. And let me tell you something, when you're trying to work for God and do the things that God has called you, and we talked about it last week, it will leave you with trust issues. But here's the thing, he's promised not to leave you nor forsake you. So stay on in there. And that's why sometimes it's good to talk to other people, because you'll find out, oh, they went through it too. I have never met an anointed person, I'm talking about a truly anointed person, that had an easy street. It's always been something. All right, let's move on.
After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry.
Jesus was hungry after fasting. Let me throw this out there. I have not yet, I've been asking God, when should I? I have not called a fast yet in a long time, but you need to be fasting. One of the reasons why God is telling me not to do it yet is because some people want to wait for the pastor to do everything for their spiritual growth. No, don't wait for me to call. You need to know when it is you need to be fasting, and you need to know what you need to be fasting from. You need to be talking to God. So I just want to throw that out there. You need to be fasting if you can. Next verse.
The tempter came to him and said.
Hold on. The who?
Tempter.
Okay.
Came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.
Before we move on, because we're getting ready to move to the next point, but it says, first of all, it says that the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, and then it says the tempter. So to be tempted, then it says the tempter. Let me tell you this. Sometimes the reason why the devil is busy is because God scheduled it. God scheduled it. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Because it was God said, that said, have you considered my servant Job? It was God that brought up the conversation. Now, of course, the devil had considered him and wanted to get at him, but God knew it and said, sometimes when I get ready to elevate you, I got to let the devil come in. Because here's the thing, sometimes God's more confident in us than we are in of ourselves. So God called the tempter to tempt his own son. And then the tempter made this statement, if you are the Son of God. That leads me to point number three, another tool. Satan deals in suggestion. He did not tell Jesus, you're not the Son of God. He just planted a seed of suggestion. If you're the Son of God, if you're so saved, why'd you go through this? If God loves you, why? He didn't say God didn't love you. He just threw an if in there. Because if he can't outright deceive you and isolate you, then he throws a lot of suggestions. Yes. All right, let's give us a definition for suggestion. Here it is. Put forward for consideration. Just want to get you to consider something else. Your marriage is going well. God's blessing your marriage. You just happen to be in the mall and pass by the cologne counter and somebody sprays the cologne of your ex and it hits your nose. And now a thought comes to your mind, because all the devil's trying to do is just get you to consider. I'm not trying to wreck your marriage yet. I just want to plant a seed. And he's crafty and he's cunning, but you got to realize I'm smarter than that. There's a reason why I left my ex, and I'm not going to allow even in my thought life for him to show up and mess what God is blessing me with now. The devil is a lie. I ain't going backwards. No. Sometimes, even when it's a suggestion, you got to call it out for what it is. Lie. You a lie. You a bold face. Ugly, toothless lie. You a lie and your mother-in-law's a lie. You a lie and your cousin's a lie. Sometimes you just got to talk to the devil for your own sanity, and you ain't got to say a whole bunch of stuff, but you a lie. It's a suggestion. It's a whisper. You remember in the old cartoons, they would have an angel on one shoulder, a little devil on another shoulder, and trying to whisper in your ear. All right, let's put up a side note that goes along with this point. Here's a side note. He's always trying to mess with the relationship. Yeah. The relationship between you and God. Let's back up for a moment and remember in the garden, he said, now, did God really say that? So he's trying to make God look bad. On this other end, he's saying, if you be a son of God, if you can't make God look bad, he gonna make you look bad. If you be the son of God. And so how was this handled? Let's go and see how it was handled. Matthew 4, 4 through 6.
But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
He answered the suggestion of if thou be by responding with the word of God. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, my hunger is not my top priority. My natural hunger is not my top priority because I can live without bread, but I can't live without the word of God. And so even though I'm hungry because I'm fasting, what's more important is that those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So devil, you're trying to tempt me. You're trying to deceive me, isolate me, and suggest. But I got something that you need to understand. I got the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And I got something to add. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, every word that progresses from the mouth of God. So that means that God, in his progressive word, his word is progressive. So a word that he spoke to you before you went in it is the same word that will carry you through it. The Bible says of the children of Israel that God spoke to Moses them and said, you are going to see the Egyptians for the last time. They were still in slavery. They were allowed to leave from slavery, and then they ran into the Red Sea. And guess who ended up coming behind them? Pharaoh and his army. What happened to, we about to see them for the last time? Well, God's word hadn't yet progressed to its fullness yet. Because all God was doing was going to allow them to drown in the Red Sea. And what I'm trying to submit to you is, yes, you had a word spoken over you when you were 24 years old, and it still has not come to pass, but it is progressing. It is proceeding. So hang on. The word will not come void. It will do what it says it's going to do. You got to hold on till your change comes. Let God do what he said he was going to do. If God said he's going to bless you and you're not blessed, just hold on. Yeah. If God said he's going to heal you and you're not healed, just hold on. If God said he's going to deliver you and you're not delivered, just hold on, because his word. And what Jesus is saying is his word alone, not the manifestation of his word, but his word alone will give me life. That's why many of y'all come to church. The manifestation has not yet been seen, but you come to get the word. Because if I get the word, I feel like I can face another day. The depression's not gone yet. The debt's not gone yet. The grief's not gone yet. I don't have my mate yet, but I'm still getting the word of God. I'm still eating just in case, because one day it's going to be just like the word says. So y'all come and y'all say, feed me this word, because you understand the word gives you life in the middle of a dead situation. That's why in Ezekiel, the Bible says that Ezekiel was lifted out amongst a valley filled with dry bones. And the Bible says that God told him to speak the word of the Lord to the dry bones. Yeah, there's some dry situations. There's some dead situations. There's some dusty situations. But if I get the word of God, because one word from God can change the situation. Just give me the word. See, wishy-washy Christians, they don't understand how important the word is. Baby Christians don't know how important the word is. But older Christians, they don't wait to church to get the word. You find them on the porch in a rocking chair with some peach tea and their Bible open, because they're eating the word of God that will sustain them, that will bring life to them. You wonder why they're not crazy. It's because of the word. So Jesus was letting the devil know, what you're talking about really don't mean nothing to me, because a man is going to live by the word of God. All right, let's move on. Let's look at verse 5.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple.
Actually was able to physically take him and set him on the pinnacle of the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him up on the temple. And verse 6 says this.
And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
Wait a second. The devil know the word too. So Jesus says it is written, and the devil came back with it is written. He came from Psalms 91 and began to quote what the Bible says. That's why the scripture says try the spirits by the spirits. Because not everybody talking the word of God is of the word of God. That's why some people can get tricked because they're hearing the word, but it's not the word. Let me say it this way. They're hearing the scripture, but it's not really the word. Because if the goal of the devil is to deceive, he'll use anything to deceive, even the word. That's why you have to know the word in context. Because if the context is taken out of the text, all you have is the con. So you have to spend time in the word to know the word. So when you know when there is a counterfeit word that looks like the word. There's an old archive video that shows how they train people to see and understand counterfeit money. And how they did it is they never showed them counterfeit money. They made them study the real so long that the counterfeit automatically looked counterfeit. If you stay with the real long enough, the counterfeit doesn't have a chance to trick you. So let's see what Jesus said. But before we do that, that's going to transition me into my point number 4. Satan deals in misinformation. Let's look at what misinformed means. It means this: to give someone false or inaccurate information. Satan will use the Bible to misinform you. There have been people who died because they were misinformed and they were using the Bible. There are these people who are called, they call them the snake handler church. Well, because the scripture says you will pick up certain serpents in their services, they throw around snakes and pick up snakes. And there's been several of them to die when the snake bit them because they were misinformed from the Bible. Don't be no fool. My mama would always say, don't let the devil make a fool of you. I'm not going to let the devil use my scripture to fool me. So be careful of being misinformed. Now, here's something that's going to help us. I'm going to go to another scripture. It's a very familiar scripture, but it'll help us. Mother Mitchell, read this. Hosea 4:6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Mm.
The scripture says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. It's not good enough to quote the scripture. You need to understand the scripture. You need to gain knowledge. I'm going to throw a curve on you here. Sometimes in order to gain the knowledge, you need to get out of the Bible. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? Because you're reading here, but then you need to get out there and apply it. Some people can quote it, but they can't apply it. Wisdom is applied knowledge. It's not just knowledge, it's applied knowledge. Here's the thing. My son Dylan, he just got his permit. He knows how a car turns on. He knows how a car operates, but he don't know how to drive yet. He knows the knowledge, but he hasn't learned the application. And once he learns and puts the knowledge and the application together, that's called wisdom. There's a lot of people who know the scripture, but they don't know how to apply it. They can quote it, but they mean as a rattlesnake. As Bishop Clark would say, mean as a backyard bulldog, because you know the word about love, but you don't know how to apply it. So if you don't know how to apply it, you need to stop quoting it and you need to get out there and live it. Because my people perish for lack of knowledge. All right, let's go to side note D. The uninformed and the misinformed will always struggle. You will always struggle if you're either uninformed or misinformed. And sometimes the thing that will help you between those things is something called T-I-M-E, time. As long as you're rushing and you're in a hurry, you can be deceived. You can be misinformed. Do you understand that we live in a day and age that the news is based off of viewership and money? It used to be they would lay out the facts and we would decide ourselves what to believe. Now they slant the facts because it helps them pay the bills. It helps the owners of the conglomerates go on their yachts and their trips. So even though it came across the news, doesn't mean it's true. Just because, well, I saw it on social media. Social media will lie to you. They'll have folk dead that is still living. They'll have you sending condolences to celebrities that are still alive. But some of y'all don't take the time to research. Sometimes a quick Google search will keep you from looking so stupid. You fussing and fighting folk over stuff that all you had to do was research. Look it up for yourself. Politicians, they will misinform you. I'm the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln. They'll say anything, and if you don't fact check, you'll believe anything. Or let me come on down and bring it home. Sometimes preachers will say anything. Do you know some folk will say that God told me to tell you to sow 1,000 or 2,000 or 3. Now, sometimes God will tell people to do it. And sometimes it's nothing but manipulation. And when you're misinformed and uninformed, well, okay, so Pastor, how could I be informed in a situation like that? Listen, if you pay the money tomorrow, he'll still be happy. So you take 24 hours and you go and pray about it. Don't let somebody run into town and cause they got slick greased hair and got a robe on. Don't let them take money out of your pocket because you want to be misinformed and you want the show. No, I want to know, God, what are you saying? Because when you're in it, it makes all the difference. And so I don't play those games. I could. I've come here and preach broke as a joke. I wish I could come talking about give me a $10,000 line, but that would be nothing but a lie. And after the $10,000 is spent, God is going to whoop my tail for tricking people for some foolishness. But sometimes people actually like foolishness. When you talk to them straight and you don't try to pull the wool over their eyes, sometimes they don't like that kind of church. They want some theatrics. They want some lies. They want you to prophesy stuff that don't make sense. Let me just throw this out there. And this, I wouldn't believe this person would mind. This happened several years ago. Remember Sister Barbara Irvin? Sister Barbara Irvin, sweet as she could be. And she loved Deliverance Temple, loved the things of God. She went to another church, got called up, and God prophesied that she was going to be the mayor of Muncie. Now, Sister Barbara was well in her 60s at this time. So Barbara called me. She's like, I don't believe I was past the time. She's like, Andre, I got this word, and I just want to run it by you. And I was like, first of all, Sister Barbara, have you ever thought about politics? Have you ever thought at all? She's like, no, it never really crossed my mind. I was like, I probably would let that go. She's like, but it was a good service. It was a powerful service. But something didn't sit right with me because it's theatrics. Yeah. Now, if you know Barbara, she was sweet, but she was not mayor material. She's going to tell you off. And listen, stop falling for stupid stuff just because it came over the pulpit. Yeah. And as much as you love me and you honor me, when I say stupid stuff, don't believe it. Amen. Because the misinformed and the uninformed will always struggle. Yes. You need to hear the word of the Lord. All right, let's look at Matthew 4, 7 through 10. Let's keep going.
Jesus
on.
Answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test."
He said, now, you're telling me a word, but I'm telling you a word that trumps that word. So I'm not falling for your foolishness because I have so much word. I know a word that'll cancel out your word. I'm not tempting God. I'm not testing God. Let me give you an example. I like to drive a little fast. I've slowed down in my older age, but I never did like to wear seatbelts. But guess what? Ain't no sense in me having y'all pray that I make it safe to work every night if I won't do the basic necessities to be safe. Buckle up, slow down. Don't tempt God. Don't ask God to do the supernatural when you can handle it yourself. I can handle that myself. I can slow down. I can buckle up. It's just that simple. Let's move on. Let's read.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor.
Read.
All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me.
Let's read what Jesus said to him.
Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
He said, "Away from me. Gone somewhere. Talk to the hand." I don't know how he said it, but he made it clear this temptation is over. You done gone too far. You done lost your ever-loving mind. Have you lost your rabbit mind, Satan? No. Because here's the thing, and let me throw this in there. He's always trying to get you to worship something other than God. And ultimately, he's trying to get you to worship him. Now, why would this be a temptation? Here's the reason why. Because Jesus had a right to all that, but he had to do it through the cross. This would have been a lot less pain. He wouldn't have had to have all the sin and all the issues. But he knew, I ain't worshiping no devil. Now let me get ready to move on because I got a bonus section. But let me say this. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was raised up in church, and there's some stuff I just ain't playing with. Amen. Well, let me come read your palms. No. Amen. You ain't read my palms. I don't want your tarot cards. I don't want your crystal ball. I don't want your Ouija board. Listen, there's some stuff I just don't play with. Because I know what I have on my life, and at any moment you're trying to get me to worship something else. You're trying to get me to trust something else. So get away, Satan. I'm not playing those games. No. Now let me say this. There's a movie out now called Deliverance on Netflix. It's supposed to be, it's a true story about someone with demons. People, Christians are fighting back and forth whether you should watch it or not. I've thought about it, but I don't have any interest. Just because I deal with real demons. I don't need to see it on the show. Now, maybe God will tell me to watch it and I learn something. But my normal goal is I don't test if I don't have to. I don't play with stuff if I don't have to. When I'm going places and I'm letting my guard down and I'm not pastor and I'm just Dre and I'm just hanging out, if I feel off, I get up and I go. Because I don't play. When they had that mass shooting over there and 19 people got shot, I've told you before, I was there. I was there to show love. I was there to talk to people. But there was a certain thing in me that said, it's time to go. There was a few more people I wanted to talk to, but in my spirit, I felt it's time to go. I got up and I left and I prayed as I left And when I got home, I was shocked that somebody got shot because I was like, I was just there. But what if I overrode it because I just, you know, I got grace. No, I can't do what I want to do. I am yielded to God. I worship God and God only. Now, by the same token, I believe God told me to go down there, but he also told me when to leave. All right, so let's go into a bonus section. We only want to talk about four tools, but I'm going to give you a bonus thing. And this is the four of the tools that Satan uses. This is something he don't really like, but he has to deal in it. Satan deals in rejection. All right, let's put up a definition of rejection. It means this: the dismissing or refusing of a proposal or idea, etc. All right, let's finish where we were on Matthew 4 and 11.
Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
The devil did what?
Left him.
All right. So the devil, as deceptive as he is, as ugly as he is, he deals with rejection pretty well. Because when you stand up and you say enough is enough, he don't have no choice. And let me say it like Bishop Mitchell would say it, like Bishop H. Royce Mitchell would say it. He got to take his little hat. He got to take his little coat. He got to take his little gloves, and he got to go. And so even though he has a lot of tools, he is acquainted with rejection too, because when you say the buck stops here, he don't have no choice, but he got to go. Now, guess what? He's persistent. He's going to come back. But I don't trust no saint that always, always, always got the devil on their trail. At some point, he got to get up off of you if you're doing what you're supposed to do. So let me give you a side note. Side note E to go with this. When you outsmart Satan, he has no choice but to leave. Let me give you some scripture to go along with it. Not in the other scriptures, but in James, read what it says.
Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
No, he's going to stick around because he will. Bold. No, he will flee from you. And here's the reason why he will flee from you, because he got other folk he got to trap up. And so if you no longer playing his games, he don't have a lot of time to waste time with you when he could be depressing somebody else. If you walking around talking about this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you talking about I plead the blood over my family, and I plead he ain't got time to waste time with you if you standing in your authority. Some of us don't understand the authority that we have. But when you got Jesus' name on your mouth and you got the blood of God over your life, the devil sometimes got to take his hat, take his coat, and he got to get up out your face. He got to get up out your life because he has been rejected. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I got a confession, but we're going to do our confession a little bit different than we normally do it. What I'm going to do, I'm going to say some stuff. And once I point to you, I want you to shout, but I'm smarter than that. Let me practice. Go ahead and shout it.
But I'm smarter than that.
Let's practice one more time. Go ahead and shout it.
But I'm smarter than that.
All right, here we go. The devil told you you was a failure.
But I'm smarter than that.
The devil told you you're going to stay broke.
But I'm smarter than that.
The devil told you you won't be delivered.
But I'm smarter than that.
The devil told you you're going to die.
But I'm smarter than that.
The devil told you you're not going to make it.
But I'm smarter than that.
Just say it again. But I'm smarter than that.
Than that.
The devil told you you're going to hell.
But I'm smarter than that.
The devil told you you're going to backslide. There you go. But I'm smarter than that. I know who I am, and I know whose I am. And at the end of the day, he's nothing but a defeated devil, and I'm smarter than that. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, the devil cannot outsmart us because we're smarter than that. We have your word. We have your name and we have your blood. With your word, your name, and your blood, there is nothing that the devil can do that can take us down. He may knock us over temporarily, but he cannot keep us down. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. We believe it. We receive it. Now, Father God, I announce and I pronounce blessing over your people. I announce and pronounce the favor of God over your people. I announce and I pronounce the reversal of fortunes for your people. Rise up and show your people that you are on their side. And if God be for them, who can be against them? Amen. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week. Amen.